Time to crank it up, Andre. Crank it up.
Oh, there it is. Let's get it, DJ. Go.
Can't be because I'm actually in Philadelphia in the hotel room, but you know what can I say, man? It's just a fantastic day, man. But well, you're not catching me any airport, man. But you know, I'm just gonna just kind of let that. Of course, 23rd, you are. Man, introduce my my. Evening, sir. Sorry about that.
All right, Dre, you cutting in and out on us.
Is that better?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry
good
about
deal.
The technical difficulties, ladies and gentlemen. We're back on track here.
It's all good. Hey, I gotta throw it out. Hey, let's check in. Let's check in first with my co-host Rob Ford. How you doing this evening, sir?
Man, doing great. Up here in Atlanta, I had to come and check on you guys and check on some of your sports things that's going on, see what the Georgia Bulldogs and Nick Chubb is all about, and kind of spy on these Atlanta Falcons here as well.
Sucker MC. GQ, how you doing this evening, sir?
I'm good, man. You know, I'm trying not to melt. I'm about tired of these 98-degree days. They got to stop.
I love it, man. Hey, by the way, I'm actually in Philadelphia checking in on Chip Kelly, man, making sure everything is good. There's a nice little buzz in the city about the NFL.
You went to go see Tebow.
No, not this time, man. Next time.
Yeah.
But
to all our listeners there, I know our regular listeners, you already know DJ Dre has a serious man crush on Tim Tebow. So he puts the two and two together. He's in Philadelphia at the moment. He's checking on Tebow, and you know, he's trying not to admit it, but we're going to go ahead and spill the beans for you, America.
All my fellow listeners, I mean, I haven't mentioned, you know, that name in a couple weeks, man, so I have no idea what you're talking about.
You mentioned it last week.
That was just part of the headlines, but I haven't said anything, man. You two were seeming like, you know, you guys are talking about him. I haven't even mentioned him in a couple weeks, man, so I'm just keeping it real.
He had to go get his Bible autograph.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I love it.
I tell you what, man,
a
lie doesn't care who tells it.
That's all good. Hey, just remember who controls a lot of the switches here. That's all I got to say. But no, I got to say, man, first and foremost, happy Father's Day to both of you guys, man. It's been a good week, man. So hope you guys had a good Father's
Appreciate
Day as it started off, too. But let's kick
Appreciate
it off, man.
That.
As always, I'll throw the numbers out for those who want to call on the show, 424-243-9519. That is the number to call on the show. You know how to follow us on Facebook at the number 12. Follow us on Twitter at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And then finally, we are on Facebook. If you go to facebook.com/12thmansports, if you put in Talking Sports with 12th Man, you will find us out in the social media world. Guys, I apologize about that technical difficulty. There are a lot of thunderstorms here in Philly, so you know, hopefully everything will actually start to calm down here. So that's just kind of my little side note too. But man, we got a lot of things.
One request from you. You need to bring us some cheesesteak hoagies back.
Cheesesteak hoagies, pretzels, man. That's what it's all about, right? Yeah,
absolutely.
About that. But
if you care about your boys,
I'm,
that's all you got to do.
We'll have to make that happen for sure. We're going to start it off, guys, with a couple of baseball news. I do want to kick it off because the NBA draft is coming up. It's been pretty interesting here in Philadelphia. They're all about your boy, JQ, D'Angelo Russell, man. They're all excited about that move, man. So we'll talk about that more or less. But and I'll let you have talk about that as well as smoke a couple of things too. But first and foremost, if you didn't know, Robert wants to always tease us here, talking about some Phillies and Rangers talking about a Cole Hamels trade. Man, so JQ, I'm going to talk to you, sir. What do you think about this move? Is this kind of a good move, bad move? What are your first initial thoughts about this?
Well, I mean, the Phillies are about 20 games under 500 at this point, and they've held on for, I think, a couple years past the prime of, you know, Ryan Howard and Chase Utley. And I think Hamels is their best opportunity to get a decent haul back because he signed through 2018. So if the Rangers trade for him, you know, they will get him locked up until 2018. So it won't be like a rental player like Milwaukee did with Sabathia a couple years ago. So I like that move from them trying to catch Houston in the AL West. But I think in order for any of that to happen, Philadelphia is going to have to pick up some of the cost of that remainder of that contract because Hamels is due about $23 million per year through 2018, and that's a mighty large sum of money. So I don't know how much they'll get back given how much money Cole Hamels has left on his contract and how much they're going to have to support that and to facilitate the trade to Texas. But I think it's a good move for them. You know, he's their most tradable asset, and it's about time for them to blow it up. They have to make sure they get some decent prospects in return so they can jumpstart that rebuilding effort in Philadelphia.
Rob Ford.
Totally agree with JQ's thoughts on that. And obviously the Rangers right now needs to get they have some unhealthy pitchers in their rotation right now, and Cole Hamels could definitely help them out tremendously. I mean, he's only 5-5 this year, but that has a lot to do with how bad the Phillies are, not necessarily about his pitching status. I mean, his ERA is about right at about 2.86, if I believe, maybe slightly off on that number. But he's somewhere in that range for his ERA on the season. And so, obviously, I think that would help out the Rangers tremendously. And I think if he was pitching for the Rangers already, that 5-5 record would at least be 7-3 or 8-2, based on the team that the Rangers have. And, right now they only have three games behind the Astros. Astros got a young team. I mean, I'm still a little skeptical about if they're going to remain in that spot throughout the season. I can easily see the Rangers catching them and surpassing them. Astros' future looks bright, but I just wonder if they're going to be able to, you know, hold in that position the rest of this season with them being having such a young roster. So I think this could be a great move for the Rangers. And with the Phillies, definitely we have to get some young prospects in return.
Anything else, Jake, you want to talk about that, sir?
I'll just piggyback on it. Absolutely. You know, the Astros, can they stay the long haul with such a young team? And if you're looking at the Rangers' point of view, you basically got Josh Hamilton for free because the Angels are paying a large chunk of the remainder of his contract, so they still have some flexibility. But having lost Yu Darvish early on to Tommy John, they need some injection of talent into that pitching staff. They got a couple of good young guys, but I think Hamilton was solidified in the run support he would get. Would definitely help him because he's not getting that in Philadelphia to his 5-5 record. So totally agree with Rob. I think that's a win-win only if Philadelphia holds out for some better prospects, because I think if they open up the Hamels trade market, they can make some teams bid against themselves. So I think it's the right move for them, but they have to make sure they get the right prospects in return.
Cole Hamels looks like he's agreed to waive his wife, the no-trade clause, because I guess, we'll see how that plays out too, man. But, man, interesting move, guys.
He has to
waive that no-wave clause for the Texas Rangers. That's one of the few teams he would do it for.
I remember,
I thought I read that he said he didn't have it. I think they said he didn't have it. That was one of the teams. That's one of the teams that's not on the list, so they can trade him to them if they wanted to without him having to waive it.
Gotcha. Okay.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, man, it's interesting. Yes, so like I said, it seems like this may be a win-win for both scenarios, man. So Cole goes to winning to a team that's actually competing for something. The Phillies get some young prospects. So hopefully this will actually play out, and it's a win-win, a true win-win for both organizations, if you will. We got about 20 minutes, guys. I want to talk a lot about some NBA stuff, so I hope I didn't cut you off too, JQ, too. But throw that in there if you need to, by the way. But I was going to say, let's talk about really, really, really quickly the top five power hitters of all time. I'm curious why Rob put this in here, or your thought process here. So I'm sure all of us have an interesting guy at number one. I'm just going to let you guys hit it up. I'm going to go with Babe Ruth, number one. That's just me, Andre, Hank Aaron, Lou Gehrig, Ted Williams, Albert Pujols. That's what I've got right now. So curious to hear. Rob, go ahead, sir. That's kind of fired off really quickly there.
Well, I'm going to go with Babe Ruth as well, number one. I'm going to throw a couple of guys from the steroids area in there, too. And I'm going to Barry Bonds. And, I'm going definitely throwing Barry Bonds. You know, there's one reason why I'm throwing Barry Bonds. I know, he's part of the steroid area as well. But Barry Bonds had great hand-eye coordination, too. And it was, tremendous bat speed as well. And, so I'm going to give him the number two spot. I think the bigger asterisk for me would be Mark McGwire. And, even more so than the Barry Bonds is concerned. I'm going to put Ted Williams in there. I don't know if he was considered a power hitter, but a great hitter. I mean, hit the average, always got contact on the ball. And extremely good hitter, and got to throw in Mickey Mantle as well. Some honorable mention guys I would throw in there would be somebody like Reggie Jackson, Frank Howard, and Mr. October. You got to throw in Reggie Jackson, Darryl Strawberry in his prime as well. Mike Schmidt with the Phillies, right there in the Philly where you are, Andre. So I got to mention him. Yep. So that's just a few honorable mention guys I'll throw in there.
JQ, what's your thoughts, sir?
So a couple honorable mentions for me would be Jim Thome and Andre Dunn as well.
Yeah.
But my five, in no particular order, I've got Hank Aaron, Babe Ruth,
yep.
Barry Bonds, Willie Mays, and this one's going to cause a lot of controversy, but he's fifth in home runs and fifth in RBIs. You've got to put A-Rod in that conversation, even with the steroids. He's in the top 10 on both lists. And, again, if you're going to do it for Barry Bonds, A-Rod is still, we're talking about power hitting. He might not have hit as many home runs, but some of those home runs might have been doubles, but they still would have been doubles, and they still would have driven in runs. So he still, to me, ranks up there in the top power hitters, and he's going to always have the asterisk. He's not very likable, but when you look at his numbers at the end of the day, and he's still playing, I believe he's fifth in home runs, fifth in RBIs, and he just joined the 3,000 hit club. So it's hard to leave him off that list. So I'm going to slide him in there at five.
Yeah, I like the Albert Pujols that Andre mentioned. Well, another guy I think is a very good power hitter is Manny Ramirez, too. I'll mention him as the honorable mention guy as well.
Mm-hmm. You had a lot of good players. I mean, you had good hitters, man. Tony Gwynn wasn't a power hitter, too. He's just a good hitter, man. I'm just saying. I mean, but,
Great
we're talking power hitters, man. Yeah, but like you said, I like to make Jeff, man, there's so many guys out there, but just a good food for thought. Like I said, JQ, way to be controversial and throw in an A-Rod. Like you said, that's a great point. He's not well-liked, but he just had his 3,000 hit, last week. So you got to throw him in there, man. I mean, it's just
a home run.
Asterisk. And, he did the same thing that Derek Jeter did on his 3,000 hit. Hit a home run, but, different scenario. Everyone loves Derek Jeter. Everyone hated A-Rod. Very interesting, to say the least. I agree with you, Rob, real quick about Barry Bonds. That dude had excellent hand-eye coordination. Just challenging. Just sucks, man, that he had to go through that steroid era, man. But, it's tough, man. If you've got great hand-eye coordination, I don't think that he should be punished for being, a good hitter. But just, I don't know. Just one of those situations, too. But anyway, I digress. Let's talk real quickly, guys. A couple days here, literally 2 days. We're going to be headed for the NBA draft, and this is an exciting time. We've got a lot of mock drafts out there. My 4.0, I don't know, I got to keep track of you, sir. Rob, a lot of rumors, man. A lot of things going, a lot of things stirring the pot. A lot about, DeMarcus Cousins. Is he staying? Is he going? Is George Karl behind that, or is he kind of got the kibosh? Philadelphia, like I talked about earlier, D'Angelo Russell, the big Lakers, what's happening? I think they're trying to acquire DeMarcus Cousins, if you hear a lot of the rumors. But
Hopefully.
You think so? Do you think that's a good move for your Lakers?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's arguably, a top three center at this point. I just don't think the Lakers have enough assets to get him from the Kings, and I believe the Kings would have to be crazy to trade DeMarcus Cousins, because I just don't think they can get enough value on the dollar for him unless somebody gives them, three first-round picks or two first-round picks and a solid player. I mean, I think he's just that good. He's gotten better, with his mentality because he's a bit of a head case. But I think I'm starting to see him mature a little bit more. But I can't see, unless he just walks in and just, gives everybody the middle finger and says, I'm not playing, that the Kings trade him, because you're not going to get equal value for him. I just don't think it's out there.
Rob Portman. What are your thoughts about this, man?
Well, obviously, if the Lakers can somehow pull that off, I mean, that would be a great addition, getting DeMarcus Cousins. I mean, you're talking about a double-double guy on a nightly basis. You have to wonder about his attitude, and I think that's what George Karl is having some issues with him is on his attitude. And I think George Karl, you know, is willing to see what they can receive for him. And I think he's more so behind this. Lottie Divac, the vice president, is not too keen on trading them. So they're going to have to see what they can do as far as meeting in the middle somewhere and what they decide to do as far as trading him or as far as keeping him. I personally can't see them trading DeMarcus Cousins for a number two pick in this draft. I just can't.
Right.
And exactly. I just think that would be foolish on the Kings' part. And, you know, it just that trade does happen. You might have to start wondering if the NBA is rigged.
Tell it like it is. So it's been kind of a flippy-flop going on. But right now, this is the final mock draft. You can check this out at Talkin' Sports, the 12th man. Nothing has changed pretty much. You know, Carl Anthony Towns going to Minnesota. Jahlil Okafor going number two if it stays as it is. D'Angelo Russell. We're not going to go to through the draft. We've talked about this before. And I guess I'm going to leave this both for both of you guys here to highlight a couple of things here as far as what's going to happen here. I noticed that, Rob, you had R.J. Hunter taking a huge jump from Georgia State, and as well as a couple of players here. I think Devin Booker may be pretty high. Are there some players that we don't trust? Like, I'm not sure about my guy from Octavia, if you will. A couple of players here. I don't know if there's anyone you want to highlight on this particular draft here as we kind of two ways wait. I'm going to throw this really quick to Rob real quick as we get ready. JQ, be prepared too as far as your thoughts as well. So go ahead, go ahead, Rob. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'll make it hopefully get through this fairly quickly. I'll just start off with Minnesota. Yeah, I still have them at Carl Anthony Towns, and I'm pretty sure that's who they're going to pick. They haven't given them any kind of promise as of yet, which is a little bit surprising. But I'm pretty sure I think they have totally eliminated Okafor from their thought process. I think it's going to be Carl Anthony Towns. Now, the interesting thing about the Lakers, they are still seriously considering D'Angelo Russell. I mean, I still have them taking Okafor. I think that's who the pick is going to be. But they're wondering about pace of play in the Western Conference and wondering if they needed D'Angelo Russell to play the fast pace in the Western Conference. Or do they want to be a team like Memphis and have two bigs and things of that nature as far as their team? So there's still a lot of debate going on in the Lakers front office right now of their pace of play, the style of play, what's going to be better for their organization. So there's some in the organization that believe D'Angelo Russell will get them the style of play that they need to be successful in the West. But there are also some that think that they can play with the two bigs, whether it be a DeMarcus Cousins or whether it be an Okafor. To pair with Julius Randle. You mentioned Kristaps Porzingis. I can tell you this, that a lot of teams are really high on this kid. He's a 7-foot athletic big man from Latvia. And I tell you, the Sixers are even higher on him at the number three pick. He can go as high as 3 to Philly, or he would definitely not go any lower than 5 to Orlando. Even the Knicks are high on him as well as number 4.
Hey, Rob.
The Knicks are very – yeah.
But he's a project, though, right? I mean, you're going to, like, you're not if you draft him, you're not going to just play him away, right? You're going to probably staff – he probably needs more year for conditioning, though, right? Is that kind of what we're hearing?
It does not seem like he's going to need that much time. This kid looks like he's ready to play.
Okay.
I mean, he's kind of similar to a Dirk Nowitzki type player, and you're hoping that he can turn out to be the same type player. We have to wait and see. But I can tell you that the Sixers are very high on him. The Knicks are very high on him, as well as Orlando Magic. He can go anywhere from 3 to 5. Right now,
so I
still have him on number 5.
Yeah, but I'm saying if you're like one of the fan bases, if you get a player, you're going to, we're going to stash him over for a year. I mean, are those fan bases going to be okay with that decision, I guess, is the question, too. So, you know,
no,
if you're Philly, I don't know, you know. Yeah, but go ahead. I'm sorry.
For Porzingis, I don't think we have to worry about him being stashed away for a year. Now, there are some Europeans in this draft that will have to be stashed away.
Okay.
I don't think you have to worry about that with Porzingis. They're expecting him to come in and play right away.
Okay. Fair enough.
So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out as well. We talked about the Knicks. The Knicks are also very high on Frank Kaminsky. And so, I mean, they don't want to draft him at the number four position. They are trying to work out some kind of a trade to move down to number seven, you know, with the Denver Nuggets. So we'll see if that's able to take place. They're also trying to work out a trade with the Phoenix Suns to drop down to 13 and acquire Eric Bledsoe from the Suns. So the Knicks is talking to quite a few teams about a trade down to possibly get Frank Kaminsky. And here's the Knicks' worry here with the point guards, with D'Angelo Russell and Emmanuel Mudiay. The Knicks don't feel like either one of those point guards are suited for the triangle offense. And so even though I still have them taking Emmanuel Mudiay here for, they have some concerns on whether or not Russell or Mudiay can play in the triangle offense. And so that's the reason why they could possibly grab a Porzingis or trade down to get a Kaminsky, or even possibly stay at number four to get Kaminsky. Now, right now, I think there'll be a slight reach for Kaminsky. I have him going number 10, you know, somewhere. I have him going number 10 in the Miami Heat at the moment. You mentioned Devin Booker. There are a lot of teams that are high on him right now. I have him going number 9 to Charlotte. He did very well in the combines. He showed some great athleticism, showed some great shooting skills. So he should be going in the latter part of the top 10. Somewhere between 8, 9, and 10. I have him going 9 to Charlotte at the moment. And you mentioned another player. I can't remember who it was, Andre.
R.J. Hunter.
R.J. Hunter, yes.
R.J.
Yes.
Hunter, yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have him going number 17 in Milwaukee, so I moved him up out of the 20s. He can realistically go as high as 16 to Boston here as well. So there are a lot of teams that are really impressed with him on his interviews and the way he also played at the combine, showed some decent athleticism. We know he can shoot the ball. So there was some he should definitely be cracked into the top 20 at the moment.
JQ, man. Go ahead, sir.
So I'm going to pick up the conversation on Porzingis, and he's fighting, you know, the ghost of Darko Milicic. And to your point, Dre, I don't think that you can get your fan base excited about him. I mean, nobody, you know, he's an apparition to them at this point. You know, they hear the stories about him. He's supposed to be good, but they haven't seen him play in the tournament. You know, they don't have anything to base it off of, you know, unless you're watching, you know, reels off of ESPN.com watching him play in the EuroLeague or something. So that's going to be a tough sell, I think, to your fan base. D'Angelo Russell and Okafor, I think, is going to be a huge dilemma for the Lakers at 2, because I totally agree with Rob's point of, is he going to be conditioned, after Okafor that is, to get up and down in that running gun Western Conference? And then can you do that, what Memphis is doing? But also, you see that Memphis is not making it to the NBA Finals with that formula right now. So I know a piece of that gives them pause, even though you have Kobe, but he's an older Kobe coming off the injury with that, you know, two big traditional lineup. Can you break through that ceiling that Memphis has not been able to do? But with Russell, then, and you have Jordan Clarkson, who they're really high on, do you play those two in the backcourt and swing Kobe to the three, or do you swing, you know, Russell to the three? So that's going to be interesting. And I agree. I think the Knicks are the swing position right now at 4, because they're trying to get out of that 4 spot. I said all along that I was high on Frank, and I thought he was too low in the initial draft, and he's steadily moving up the boards, because I think it's one of the more polished players in this draft that plays the way that the league is going to right now. You know, with the space and pace kind of offense, you know, he can post up, but he can also go to the 3-point line and shoot it at a very high clip. And somebody else that I love that I just don't hear enough talk about is Justice Winslow. I think he is that Swiss Army knife kind of Draymond Green kind of player who can step out, shoot it. He's going to defend multiple positions. He's high energy. You know, he's going to get on the floor and be the first one to the ball. And you're going to look up and say, wow, why was he so low? And finish it off with Willie Cauley-Stein. I've been not as high on him because he doesn't have a post game. And then we have the reports that his ankle might need another look at. So I think he's going to fall a little bit. And Indiana, who Larry Bird loves him, he might be there for him at 11 because of his ankle injury. So it's going to be interesting.
That's why I have him going out right now, too.
Yeah, good call.
That's funny that you mentioned that. I actually have Willie Cauley-Stein going 11 to Indiana as we speak. And my latest mock draft. And you mentioned Justice Winslow. I am going number 6 to Sacramento at the moment.
I think he's perfect with for Cousins.
Yeah.
Nice little inside-out game. I'm going to say one more name here. Mario Hezonja. I probably butchered that, but by the guy, he's from Croatia.
Hezonja.
Hezonja. What about this Joker? Is this
Super
guy
going to
be a stash player? Yeah, Super Mario. Is he a stash player? What's thoughts about this one real quick, Rob?
He's not a stash player. He will be expected to come in and play right away. He's got a prototype body already. He's about 6'7". The scouts love his physique. These teams are expecting him to come in and contribute right away. He's a great shooter, great ball handler. NBA teams are expecting him to come in and play right away. I am going up to 7 to Denver. If Denver stays in that slot, he's a guy that Sacramento is going to also consider at the number 6 spot. Detroit would love for him to fall number 8. But right now, you know, I have him going number 7 to Denver. So this is a player that a lot of NBA teams are very high on, and he would definitely be a top 10 pick in this draft.
And all the Detroit fans have just jumped out the window because they are also like, no, not another international player. I'm saying,
well,
you're gonna have. I'm not saying he's not a good player. I'm just saying to get your fan base excited about it. You're gonna put so much pressure on him to come in and be a baller from day one because he's fighting all those stereotypes and perceptions,
Darko
especially
Milicic.
In Detroit. Because they went through that, and you've watched, you know, Carmelo and LeBron and Wade and Bosh all flourish in that draft, and you're sitting there as an odd man out because you took that guy who's now an MMA fighter. So,
yeah.
You know, that's why I think, you know, if you pick him in the top 10, he has to come back to your point. He has to come in and play right away as a top 10 pick. The stash player has to be in the 20s or into the first part of the second round before you stash him. You pick somebody that high, they have to come in and play. But the pressure you put on him, fighting all those perceptions, him representing us both, I think, is going to be, you know, they're going to have to go to the right situation or the right culture to alleviate some of those concerns.
And that's a valid point. I mean, the international players are not going to get your local fan base excited. And, I mean, that's the downside. But I think if you're a general manager, you have to trust your instincts on certain players, and regardless of what the fan base thinks, because the fan base is not aware of what some of these players you know, their skills and things of that nature. But it's definitely a valid point, and they're not going to increase your ticket sales if that's what you're looking for, because it's just not a – they just don't get to see these guys play in America on a regular basis. So it's it'll be a tough sell on the fan base. But as a general manager, you hope the player is going to come in and play and eventually sell them on the and sell them to the fan base based on his play once he arrives.
I totally agree with that. You got to stay true to your draft board. But I'm just saying, well, as we talked about the stash and your fan base, that's going to be a hard sell. But I agree. If
2 minutes.
If you've got him right on that board, you have to do it. 2 minutes.
2 minute warrant. That's right. 2 minute warning. All right, guys. 2 minutes left in the show here. Let's kick this off here. We're going to spend more time talking about some more NBA draft. We're going to talk about the Cavs and the Hornets as well, too. But go ahead, Rob. I guess go ahead. Let's get set up for the 2 minute. As we get ready to go into the OT portion of the show, Rob, so I'll kick it to you, sir.
Man, we're having too much fun, and the show is almost, the live portion anyway, is almost over. Incredible. It goes by too fast. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we will be back on the air next Tuesday night, so you definitely don't want to miss it. We'll recap the NBA draft. We're still going to be getting you ready for the NFL and college football season here coming up around the corner, so you definitely want to stay tuned. We'll keep you abreast of what's happening in the Major League Baseball season as we get into the heat of the summer. Here for the baseball season. So definitely join us on next Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. It will be a great time. But we still got an OT portion we want to go to tonight. We continue to talk NBA draft. We even got a few sleepers in this draft that we can talk about here. And we might even squeeze in a little NFL and college football if we have the time in our OT portion. So definitely click on that tomorrow if you're interested in those topics while you have some kind of break. Click on the same link, and we'll get that OT portion to you as well. Good night, people. We appreciate you tuning in.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. And keep your heads up, Charleston. You're still in our prayers. We haven't forgotten about you. Stay classy, San Diego.
Amen to both of
you. I love it. Man, as always, we do a great job of that sign-off. And so we do. So we're going to kind of kick this off real quick. I do want to briefly talk about a couple things here. The Cavs picked up Timothy Mozgov's option on the contract. Thoughts about this? Good move, bad move, JQ? What do you think about this, sir?
Great move, no brainer move. You give up two first round picks to get him. It's, I believe it's a $5 million option, which is a bargain for a starting quality center in the NBA. I mean, you can't take away two first round picks and then only use him for half a year or three quarters of a year and let him go. So to me, that's just a foregone conclusion if we're going to pick him up.
Good move, bad move, Rob. What are your thoughts for this?
I'm sorry, I missed the question there. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry about Timothy Mozgov, the Cavs picking up his option on that contract, sir.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think it's a great move by the Cavs. I thought he played tremendously well on both ends of the floor, too. And, you know, I think he's become a solid post player and a very good defender as well. I think it's a very good move by the Cavaliers. I think it's a solid piece for them.
Stay right there. Do the Cavs acquire, can they acquire Dwayne Wade? What's up with that, sir? There's some rumors about this, so... Thoughts about that, Rob? Stay tuned, JQ.
I think it's going to be very tough for the Cavaliers to acquire Dwayne Wade. I think there is some interest to see if they can make something happen to acquire him. I think LeBron James is on board with that, of course. And Dwayne Wade has some interest. He also has some interest to get to Los Angeles. It's based on his wife, you know, their commuting situation. And but I think he would like to rejoin LeBron. But he also has some interest in going to Los Angeles if he can't connect with the Miami Heat here. So we'll cut down on some of the commuting issues with he and his wife are having there back and forth between Miami and Los Angeles. But, yeah, I think the Cavs are just cap strapped, and it's going to be hard for them to make any room to be able to sign Dwayne Wade unless he takes a serious pay cut or unless Kevin Love and LeBron take a serious pay cut. And I just don't see that happening.
Thank you. I love it. Thank you.
Yeah. So, yeah, they're rich. So their community issues, I'm sorry. You got a Learjet that you can just get in and hop on and go cross country. I mean, get out of here. But if you're the Lakers, why would you bring another agent two guard in with the two guards you already have that's agent and pay them big money and tie up your salary cap when you're trying to get younger and compete? So that, to me, is a non-starter for the Lakers. Same thing for the Cavs. I mean, they don't have an endless budget. There is a salary cap and a tax if you go over it. So who are you not going to pay? You got to pay Tristan Thompson. You want to keep Kevin Love. Of course, you're going to pay LeBron. If Wade is not going to take a pay cut to stay in Miami, which is the only franchise he's ever known, why would he take a huge pay cut to come to Cleveland? I'm not leaving. You know, I love Ohio. I'm from Ohio, but I'm not leaving Miami and leaving money on the table with no state tax to go to Cleveland. So just not going to happen. I think they find a way to work it out between him and Miami. He means too much to them. As a franchise, and they're his best hope to get anywhere near the kind of money that he thinks he's supposed to get. So I think that's just being put out there by the Wade camp to try to put pressure on Pat Riley to meet him more in the middle of the money that they're trying to agree to on that new contract.
Good call, man. JQ always loves it. He always brings it, man. Good job. Quick side note here. The Hornets bit the nod to host the 2017 NBA All-Star Game. I think this is a great move. I may get a chance to go up there, man. I think it's a good opportunity. Do you want to comment on that?
I'm trying.
Anything you want to say? Yeah, that'd be fun,
man,
guys.
I don't have to go in, but I just want to go party, and I'm not going to be able to admit it. I just want to go party, and it's 3 hours up the road from Atlanta, so I'm going to go ahead and buy my 2017 calendar and put it on the fridge and mark off the date so there'll be no misconception about where I'm going to be on that weekend. But in all honesty, I think that's just a nod to MJ from the league of, okay, you're trying. He's doing good things in the community in Charlotte. He's trying to revive that fan base. He's trying to do better with his picks and put more of a winner on the floor. So this is, you know, MJ, for all you've done to the league, here's the All-Star game for you in Charlotte.
Love it. Good call. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, I totally agree with that last point. It was definitely MJ was able to inspire him. I think when you look at the city of Charlotte, obviously congrats to the city of Charlotte to be able to accomplish this and win the nod to host the All-Star game. But it's not your typical party town. And I'll be perfectly blunt with you, it's a boring city. And so it's probably not the most exciting city to go to as far as an All-Star weekend. But, you know, it's great that the NBA honored franchise is owned by Michael Jordan in that city. So it's, you know, congrats to Charlotte.
I like Charlotte. You say it's boring.
Send all your mail to Robert Ford at gmail.com.
Well, keep tuning into our show, Charlotte.
Look at that. Try to fire some shots. But
I mean,
Lord have
across
mercy.
The bow.
He did fire that shot. Hey, I think it's going to be fun, man. I think, JQ, if we can do a field trip, man, I am all into that, man. That's fantastic. But we'll keep that on the calendar, like you said, JQ. All right, we are going to talk about some NFL. If you didn't know, I do want to talk about, man, freaking, I hate saying the plate gate and like 10 hours of meeting here. But a little side note, Rob, this is for you. This is for you. Just a quick note, Terrell Pryor, he didn't know he got, you know, he didn't really make it as a QB, but he's agreed to switch positions to wide receivers, and the Cleveland Browns have decided to pick him up. Man, do you want to comment about this move, man? Number one, about him making the switch, and can he actually be successful as a wide receiver? I don't know if you want to comment on that. I thought it was kind of interesting as well.
Well, this is just I think credit Terrell Pryor for trying something to try to stay in the NFL, because obviously with him being cut as a quarterback with the Bengals, I think he had to come to the realization he's just not going to cut it as a quarterback in the National Football League. So he had to come up with some kind of strategy here to give him some kind of a shot to make an NFL football roster. I still don't think it's going to work. He'll have to prove me wrong. You know, if he can just start playing wide receiver all of a sudden, I think this is just going to be tough. But, you know, credit Cleveland for giving him a shot. You know, he is pretty athletic, and see what he can, see what he can make out of the remaining juice that he has left on a possible NFL career. So, I don't think it's going to work. But credit Cleveland and Terrell Pryor for trying this.
Jake Hughes got an interesting perspective. He was number Ohio State, but also for the Bengals. So, both sides, give us your thoughts here, Jake. I'm very curious to hear this.
Oh man, I'm so conflicted. Well, you know, he just hasn't progressed enough as a quarterback, and I really think this is a couple years too late, honestly. But I also think it does a disrespect to the wide receiver position to think that you can just jump with your athleticism and become a wide receiver. So basically, he's just going to run go routes because that's the easiest thing to teach him right now. Just go deep. But, you know, I want to see him succeed because, you know, I'm a Buckeye fan. He's a former Buckeye. But I hated the fact that he put Bengal practices on his Instagram account, and then he gets cut and the arch rival Browns, you know, pick him up. So I got a whole lot of intra-Ohio things happening inside of me that I don't like. But I want to see him succeed, honestly. I want to see him succeed. I don't necessarily want to see him succeed with the Browns twice a year against my Bengals. But, you know, like Rob said, kudos for, you know, giving up what Tebow wouldn't do, which is just try to switch to another position to maintain. But I just don't see it working out because the nuances of playing wide receiver in the NFL is so difficult. Even guys that play wide receiver since they've been in seventh grade have a hard time staying in the league. So you're saying at 26, 27, you're going to just jump to wide receiver and make it work even for a wide receiver needy team just to think that you can, you know, run that dig route and then run that out and then be able to run the go and know all the audibles and the nuances of how a cornerback wants to play you in June and pick it up and be ready to play in September. I just don't see that happening.
I agree wholeheartedly both points, man. The odds are definitely stacked against you, fellas, man. Good calls. Man, we'll keep an eye on that situation too, man, because like I said, I kind of tend to agree with you, Rob, man, and JQ. It's going to be tough, to say the least. Man, just thinking I can come in there and just be athletic. But anyway, Cleveland, we'll see how you're making good decisions with that. Really quickly, I want to talk about Jameis Winston. Is he ready to lead the Bucs? And the reason why this is a good topic too, guys, because it's, you know, surprisingly, it seems like it's all about Jameis Winston. I have yet to hear a lot of pub about Marcus Mariota. I mean, so either A, food is about to light it up and we don't know what's happening, or B, what is he doing, man? But I guess just really quickly, I don't know if you want to kind of have that as 1A, 1A, 1B. Is Jameis ready to lead the Bucs? I'm going to say he's ready to lead, but he's going to go through that learning curve. I don't think he was as polished as a Peyton Manning coming out, so he's gonna struggle. But the Bucs don't have anybody else left, so he's going to have to grow with that team. So, JQ, what are your thoughts about this? And then, what's up with Marcus Mariota, man? I haven't heard anything about him as well. I'm curious.
Well, I think the reason is because Winston is such a polarizing character, a la, you know, a Johnny Manziel, that anything that he does is going to grab headlines, where Mariota has always been a, you know, quiet, unassuming kind of put my face in the playbook, go to practice, come back, and not be a rah-rah kind of person. So I think that's why you have that discrepancy between the two. It's interesting for me to see if Winston, because this is not college, this is a grown man, and yeah, he's shown to be a great leader actually on the field at Florida State, and all his teammates raved about him, but leading 18 and 19-year-olds versus leading 25 to 30-year-old men who've been in this league and been in the wars, you're trying to come in as a young guy, and, you know, you got all the spotlight on you, and you haven't proven anything. That's what I'm more interested to hear is from the veterans and the leaders outside of him on the Tampa Bay roster of how they feel about him. Are they willing to put all their chips on the table for him and get, you know, in that proverbial foxhole with him? So I think he has the acumen and leadership skills from what I saw at Florida State, but like I said, leading, you know, 19-year-olds versus leading 29-year-olds is a totally different ballgame. So I think it's a wait-and-see process.
Proud four. Love it, JQ.
Yeah, totally agree with that last statement. I think, you know, it's going to take him a minute to be the true leader of this team just because he's coming in as a rookie. I know Tampa Bay doesn't really have a lot of experienced veterans, so it may not take him as long as it would on an experienced football team. I think the one thing that you have to like about Jameis Winston, I mean, he does have a few issues that he's had off the field, but the one thing you have to give him credit for, he's dialed in when it comes to football. As far as his terminology, as far as studying and things of that nature, and from everything that I'm hearing as far as the Tampa Bay Bucs are concerned, he's very dialed in the off-season program. He's very dialed in with getting the playbook down and things of that nature. So I think, you know, it's I think he's going to be a special player in the National Football League. And that's scary, of course, with him being in the same division as my beloved Saints. But I think, you know, he's a, you know, from what I can tell, I think I'm going to go out on a limb here and say the offseason, the off-the-field stuff is going to be behind him. And this kid is going to be dialed in when it comes to being a quarterback in the National Football League. It's probably going to take him a year or so to be that true leader of this team, but I don't think it's going to take as long for most young quarterbacks as it would for most young quarterbacks.
Just keep him away from any crab. Keep him away from any crab boils, man. That's all I got to say, man. let's see here, man. Yeah, man. There you go. Yeah. we got about 3 minutes, guys. Three minutes. Man. Is Tom Brady going to play week one? Yes or no? Just keep it really simple, really quick. Rob?
I'm going to say no. I think the NFL is considering his appeal, and there's some people saying it's 50-50. I'm still going to say no. I'm going to say at the most, Roger Goodell reduces it down to 3 games instead of 4. But I can't see him just totally reducing it all or getting rid of it altogether. I think that would be foolish. I'm going to say he will not be playing week one.
JQ.
And I'm going to piggyback on that with 2 quick points. If the NFL wants to keep any credibility, they have to keep him off the field in week one. After what you did to the Saints in the Bounty Gate, and we already are in an uproar about the discrepancy between those two punishments, and now you're going to take away the 4 games only playing week one. They want to have, and Roger Goodell have any kind of, you know, credibility, have to have that, and be sit out. And two, how, as Roger Goodell, if you gave him a 4-game suspension and you are the person hearing the appeal, I don't see another grown man in that position of authority going back and say, you know what, I made a mistake the first time. It shouldn't be 4 games. It shouldn't be any games. I just don't see that happening, because that basically means that Roger Goodell made a mistake the first time. And, again, it goes back to the credibility point of view. So I just can't see that happening.
Good call, JQ. 2 minutes, Rob. Let's wrap it up, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, we appreciate you guys tuning into the show tonight. We had a great time. Time goes by too fast, as usual. But once again, we'll be back on next Tuesday night. It'll be 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. You don't want to miss us. For our friends in Hawaii, aloha, that will be 5 p.m. Hawaiian time on next Tuesday night. So definitely tune in. We're going to recap the draft. We got more NFL coverage, more college football coverage, a little bit of baseball, and we're going to be getting ready for some NBA free agency here pretty soon. So good night, people, and join us on next Tuesday night.
JQ.
And Cincinnati Reds fans, vote for Frazier and Votto. The All-Star game is Cincinnati. We need people to start for us in Cincinnati. Please get on your computers. Vote. Thank you.
He's not biased at all, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, man. I love it. Fellas, man, as always, man, it's been great sharing the field of battle with you guys, man. We'll see you guys next week. Same time, same channel. We're going to recap the NBA draft and keep –